Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are following us live on Facebook. We appreciate that very much. We continue to grow the audience in any way we can. Obviously, social media is part of that component as well. However, this is a podcast, so if you haven't done so already, please download the podcast. You could do that a couple different ways. You go to iTunes and just type in Real Estate Radio Live. You can go to Stitcher, Google Plus, any of those places and get the podcast. Also, you can visit the website at RE Radio Live. That's reradiolive.com. Try to stick to the shows Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays right around 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time for those that tune in on Facebook. And once again, we appreciate those following the show. We continue to grow tremendously. We appreciate that. So thank you very much. Well, let me invite my guest in today. I'm super excited to have Patty Arvielo. She is the president and co-founder of New American Funding. Patty, welcome in this afternoon. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Good to have you. Thank you again for spending some time with us this afternoon. We appreciate that. I know you're a busy lady, so we'll get through this and look forward to the interview for sure. So welcome back in here.
Thank you.
Can we get started, Patty, if you don't mind, if you could give the listeners a bit of your background and then we could jump in and talk a little bit about how you and Rick, how you guys came up and decided to launch New American Funding.
Well, Joe, I've been in this business since I was 16 years old. So I'm one of the ones that if you stick with something, you'll master it, right?
Right.
I would hope that after 36 years of working in the same line of work, I would have mastered it already, but I still have a lot of work to do. So, just kind of climbed the rung of the ladder, you know, one rung at a time, and started very young as an originator, 19 years old, and kind of moved my way up there, landed at a company we all know very well named Countrywide. And I would probably give that the most credit as far as educating myself on what it took to exceed and excel in this business was the platform that Angelo built at Countrywide. So it was kind of my college since I didn't go to college. And then it was one step at a time. You know, it was one step at a time. I had a crisis in my life around 30 years old. And couldn't work at Countrywide any longer because it mandated that I work certain hours. And being a single mom, that wasn't possible. So that was the beginning of me going into what I would consider my entrepreneurism, my entrepreneurship role, which at very soon I met Rick right after that. And we kind of brought him onto the path with me. And we started to build the infancy of this mortgage company roughly in the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's exciting. So, and a lot of growth, fast growth. How did you guys decide to launch the company, Patty, number one? And then two, talk to us a little bit about what it takes for this accelerated growth. It's amazing the amount of how fast this company's grown and how many quality people from the top down, you guys, and that's not easy. So tell us a little bit about why you guys started the company and the success you've had thus far.
Well, I think the secret sauce is really the true partnership that Rick and I have as co-owners and co-founders. There's a really great synergistic fit. You know, I was a pretty high-producing loan originator for many years, and one of my top realtors, Mary Giacchino, set me up with Rick. So, you know, it's maybe she saw something. Maybe she's the smart one in the room. You know, there's a really good synergistic fit between Rick and I. I'm the long-leveled practitioner that, you know, I know how the street feels. I know how it feels to be on the originator side and on the operation side. Rick is a business builder. That's what Rick does. He's an innovator. He's a mathematical genius. So it's really just was a natural evolution. I obviously am being new to being an entrepreneur and I had worked for so many years. The whole risk-taking part of it was really hard on me. So it took a lot for Rick to convince me to risk my own dollars to grow the company in very early stages. So learning to be an entrepreneur was a struggle for me at something he's always been. It was just part of business. But honestly, true partnership and trusting partnership is the secret sauce here. That and building a platform that scalable, that doesn't stay complacent or stale, because he's an innovator. So it's just really kind of a natural fit.
Yeah, you guys complement each other very well with those skill sets for sure. Let's switch gears a little bit, because I know there's several passions of yours. One is multicultural lending. Tell us a little bit about, Patty, why that's so important to you personally, and then how, you know, how you really decided to bring that to the forefront of the company and start educating the group on from the top down.
Yeah, so it all kind of started with the love and passion for my culture. My mom is a Mexican immigrant, and we were raised primarily by my Latino side of the family. So I have a love for family and a foundation for my culture. And so I just saw about 5 years ago that there was a need in this market for a trusted advisor, meaning, you know, a company and a forward-facing sales force that had the best interest of the client, meaning that enhancing their homeownership experience. Most Latinos struggle in our country through the loan process just because maybe they might save differently or spend differently. And I really wanted to build a company that education came first to the client, and obviously care for the importance of home ownership to Latinos. It's sincerely one of the things that they pride themselves the most about coming to this country, and or being a long resident of this country, is that they hold home ownership very, very high and as an ultimate goal. So we needed to build a company to give them the tools to make the process go easier. And that really comes through educating your sales force about the different loan products and the expectations of the borrower we serve.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I talked to Frank a couple of days ago and Eva several weeks ago, and I know they're champions of this as well, with the multicultural lending, and you're the leader in this. Do you then, we talked about taking it out to the community, and there's so much, if you could give us an idea of what are the things that, that we need to do, you need to do as a company to get this out to the community on a regular basis, so it's just not something everybody talks about, but we take the action as well.
Right. So, you know, I have a broader way of thinking. I don't see lending to this demographic as a niche. I see this demographic driving homeownership. So I see it as a business opportunity that's not only important for anybody wanting to stay in business, but for anybody being in business in the United States of America. You know, if you took all the Latinos aside and grouped them into one, we'd be like the seventh largest GDP in the world. So we're a big driving force. We consume at very, you know, very high level of social media. Latinas are driving self-employment rates up. We're opening businesses faster than any other demographic. So this is purely smart business, not really a niche. For me, it just happens to be both. I mean, I am so lucky that I love my culture. I'm in love with my culture. I'm in love with my mother and who I represent and her struggle to get to this country, which is just her immigrant perspective and her story. I am the byproduct of why people come to this country. So it's more of a storytelling thing for me, and really giving the industry and other people in mortgage a face that they can look up to, so that they know that they too can own mortgage companies of this size. So I really just think it's a driving force. I think 60% of all first-time homebuyers right now are Latinos.
Yeah, well, that is a smart business decision to be in that. What does the future look like for multicultural lending, Patty? Is it just much of the same, more of what we're doing now, stepping up efforts in different areas? How do you see, in other words, in order to stay in the forefront of this and be competitive and really make it a priority, much of the same? Any other strategies?
I think every corporation or company needs to work on their messaging. You know, if you need to come out with a trusted brand, you need to be looked at as a trusted advisor. So probably starting from there would be the first step I would take. Having leadership that mirrors the communities you're trying to serve, whether you're serving the Latino communities or the African American communities, you obviously need champions and leaders in your company that mirror the communities that you're trying to serve, but really becoming the trusted brand. That's really what it's going to be about, giving and delivering content that's relevant to their experience of homeownership and the process to get there.
Very good. Let's talk a little bit about the diversity in the workplace. And I know, again, this is another champion of yours, and we'll get into a little bit about the mentorship program you have. But, you know, specifically the mentoring of women overall, let's talk a little bit about specifically how this relates to it, you know, why this is important. Obviously, the reason, the one big reason, you're a woman and you're very successful, and there's, you've had so many different accolades and recognitions. We could discuss those a little bit later as well. But why is this area so important to you as well, Patty?
Well, because I'm a woman co-founder of a large mortgage company. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the demographics in mortgage, just in finance in general, women are still underrepresented right. in the C-suite. A lot of what I talk about on my mentorship calls is about us speaking up. Mm. And I think a lot of times we're very reserved in the way that we operate in the C-suite or work, you know, not wanting to be miscategorized as or labeled as being, you know, outspoken. That might be a woman thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems to be a common trait. But really, at the end of the day, Rick and I, listen, it's a male-female co-founded company. Mm-hmm. And I talked to my husband very openly about how he sees the workforce and the importance of women in the workforce. Women play a crucial part
yes.
in finance
yeah.
and in what I do. When Rick thinks about hiring and elevating people in the workplace, we really do, as a co-team, look for the best person at the job. I mean, it really, at the end of the day, who is the best person to fill that seat?
Mm-hmm.
But it does take some level of wanting to make opportunities happen for minorities and women. It does take a conscious effort for leaders to say, listen, that seat's open. These two people are equally qualified. Let's give this person who's underrepresented on our board a chance. I think you
right.
do have to make smart choices, but knowing that some of them are not going to be outspoken enough to give themselves the chance to sit on that seat. So learning for women to speak up in the workplace is a really important tool.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are doing a great job with the New American Funding. The focus that you have is incredible. We'll talk a little bit about the mentorship program and how that works. But do you still see that disparity, Patty? I mean, you're speaking all over the place. There's a lot of opportunities. You meet with a lot of company owners of all different sorts. Just in general, do you see this getting better? Do you see it a lot of the same? We have a lot of work to do. What's your view on that?
Honest. I feel very alone sometimes. It primarily, most mortgage companies in America are owned by men.
Yes, right.
Primarily white male.
Right.
So I do see a lot of disparity still. But again, I think that the good thing is now we're talking about it. Women can see women like me running companies of this size. And you'll see that there'll be a lot more coming up the channels, a lot more women owning mortgage companies. I think that what's going on just in our country with Me Too movement.
Right.
You got a lot of women championing women. And we also need to champion each other and lift each other up. So I think that I really enjoy doing that for other women. Maybe that's not for every woman, but I certainly like to not only surround myself with women much more successful than me, but I also like to lift people up in my organization that I think that are demonstrating skills that might not have, you know, the self-confidence in themselves, but I can see talent. It's definitely been fun for me. It's like having a kid, you know, getting to watch them grow up in your organization. It's very rewarding for me. So, but yeah, no, I do think it's going to change.
That's great to see.
Things change.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's one thing we could all count on. And for me personally, I love to see it and I love to hear what you're doing and see what you're doing. I mean, I have two daughters. I married a woman that has seven sisters. My mom had seven sisters. So they're in my life in a big way. So I love to see what you're doing, and I love to see representation and taking the torch like you're doing now. So thank you for doing that on behalf of women. I appreciate that as well.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's what brings me joy.
Yeah. This mentorship program, Patty, how does that work? I mean, is that something within the company, within outside the company? Tell us a little bit about that.
So we run two mentorship programs. One is for anybody that works at New American Funding.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is for anyone outside in the industry, whether it's real estate and or mortgage, escrow, title, anybody really servicing home ownership in the country, they can also. So my last call today was a couple of realtors, marketing executive in the finance industry, a couple of loan practitioners. So it's very mixed and they mm-hmm. all work at different companies, but it's just giving them and allowing them to have access to people like myself and Rick. I brought Rick on for the last 30 minutes of the call today. You know, it's not often when you have the younger generation trying to get answers. I mean, luckily they have Google now, right? When we were young, we didn't have any access to anybody.
Yellow pages and a Sunday paper.
Yeah, well, it's just putting yourself out there, giving back to the
right.
industry that's done so much for both of us. We really feel fortunate that we're able to do that.
Well, running a company like you do, it's tremendous. I mean, you guys have done an incredible job, a lot of success. How do you, I'm guessing, but I'd like you to talk to a little bit about, I'm guessing you have to surround yourself with the right people in the right seats with the right skill sets to manage this around you and help you, because, I mean, it's one thing to start a company and to grow a company, but it's quite another, as you know, hiring the right people and making sure they're in the right spots and optimizing their skill sets. Tell us a little bit about how do you go about that. I mean, there is a skill in itself right there in hiring the right people, and it's not easy.
Yeah, so that is probably the most important aspect of owning your own company, mm-hmm. is that when it gets to the point where you have to delegate and bring on more team members, what does that look like? And so I think coming up with our culture, which we call NAF 360, mm-hmm. when we started to grow, Rick and I studied culture and what it meant in a company and how to grow it. We both took culture classes at Zappos at the Shoe place in Vegas, and it was enlightening, and we came up with our culture and we stuck with it, meaning that we hired like-minded individuals. I think that one of my strengths is that I'm very good at talent acquisition. I'm very good at nurturing relationships and keeping them and building a trust between them. I'm probably more loyal than most people, but loyalty is a big, big deal with me. It might be my culture. So I find that I'm very giving and very loyal to those that I bring on, and I end up getting the same reciprocal attention and or behavior. So there, listen, Rick and I could not have built this company at all by ourselves. Really, at this point, it's everybody but Rick and I who have grown this company. I really give the credit to everybody that's joined this company, who's offered ideas to us. I think what's good about Rick and I is that we don't have an ego. Neither one of us do. And we're really quick to change. If we think something's being done better and this information's being offered by somebody within the company, we really take it to heart and we look at it. And if it is better, we execute on it. We don't sit around and, you know, belabor the points or figure out who it came from or why it came. We just, if it's better, it's just flat out a better business decision.
Yeah, well said. I'm going to have Rick on tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to talk a lot about technology and industry and much more. I just saw there was just some news, Patty, that New American Funding acquired a company. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that means and how that's going to marry up with New American Funding?
Yeah, so we're really excited. We just flew back last night from Minneapolis. We acquired Marketplace Mortgage out of Minnesota. They are a prolific player in the market. They do about $1 billion a year in production. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect marriage between their company and our company because their leadership is staying on board with us. So it's all about the people, like I said. Mm. So for everyone that works for them, they'll be able to still enjoy the leadership they've enjoyed in the past. He's owned the company for 21 years. But we're enhancing what they already have. That's how I looked at it. It was a perfect, perfect marriage. Kind of like me and Rick together. It was Marketplace and New American were a perfect fit. They aligned culturally with us. And a big win for us is we weren't in the market, really. We had very little presence. We have about 10 or 11 loan originators there existing. So now they have a big family. So it's all good.
That's great. It's all good. Good to hear. Talking about that, and I'm going to speak to Rick a little bit about this, but I'd love your opinion, too, and your thoughts. So industry in general, you guys been through a lot. You've been in this business a long time, the ups and downs. There appears to be a change taking place, and the refinance market has pretty much dried up. There's certainly situational refinances, but we all have to focus on purchase. That being said, and rates coming up a little bit, more competitive on and on with technology changing some aspects of business models, pricing compression, all those things. What are some of the things that you and Rick are focused on, and these are the absolute things that we need to continue doing, or some major changes or things that have to be adjusted going forward? How do you see that?
Well, you know, like I said, Rick's the innovator, so he's been thinking about this from 5 years ago. That's why we've developed our own technology. We own our own technology. We develop it here. Listen, it's all about the customer expectations, how they want to be served. They're going to start on the internet. They're all starting on the internet.
Yep.
The best mortgage advisor. What's a fixed rate? What's this? You know, they study the area in which they're looking to buy. So everything is starting on the internet. So it's who has the best platform for the consumer to engage, to do all their research, number one. Mm-hmm. And then who has the best platform to keep the borrower engaged in your platform? So it's all about nurturing that prospective buyer. And it could be for a month. It could be for a year. So that's where I think that our platform is going to serve us really well. I think that there's a lot of loan originators out there who have done really, really well. Listen, it's a great business, mm-hmm. but will become insignificant if they don't keep up with the fast moving changes that are happening. So it's just going to take integration of a technology platform and you really being diligent about using it and executing on it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you 100% on that front for sure. Do you see, you know, the majority of the listeners, we get thousands and thousands of downloads these months on a podcast. The majority of listeners are the consumers, but although we have a pretty good following of the industry, real estate, lending, et cetera. So talking directly to the message directly to the consumers, Patty, what would you say to the consumers right now that are listening, what they could expect for the future of the mortgage industry? How different does it look? Does it look the same? What could they expect?
Yeah, see, virtually the products and everything remains the same, but it's still, you know, a really serious, serious decision. It's one of the biggest financial decisions every consumer is going to make in their mm-hmm. life. What we have seen is that these borrowers are engaging early on. So instead of like deciding right now, December 19th, oh, I'm going to buy a house by the end of the year, right? Mm-hmm. It's typically not that way right now. Borrower behavior, consumer behavior, as they start their process online, kind of investigating what homeownership looks like to them, mm-hmm. looking at what payments look like, interest rates, but more or less the area as well. They're educating themselves on the schools, on the crime rates, on, you know, business opportunities within the area. So I think starting the process early on is really important, and there's so much data so that when you do make that right decision, mm-hmm. you're armed with so much information. Then it's all about just execution. Who is going to perform that loan process for you flawlessly?
Yeah, very good. Well said. With just a couple of minutes left, how do you see, you know, the next couple of years, New American Funding? Can you share with us some of the visions? Is it continued growth? Is it strategic? What are the plans over the next couple of years?
So we're really integrating the internet space with distributed retail. So, okay. you know, typically you have your call centers like the Quicken, and we have a large call center. Usually you have that platform, and then usually you'll have your distributed retail platform. Your mm-hmm. outside guys that go and build relationships with realtors, and, you know, then they get the home loans. We're really, really working to consolidate the platforms into one, with really having the in-market agents working with the internet-based agents to execute flawlessly mm. and timely as the consumer expects.
Yeah.
So that's going to be goal net for the next 2 years, is the integration of the two platforms and executing on borrower behavior and their expectations.
Right. Do you see accelerated amount of merger acquisition type activity in 2019 with our industry? Is that something you think that's going to take place?
Yeah. So we kind of opened ourselves up for acquisition, you know, for acquisitions, and we've been given plenty of opportunity for many, many companies. Like I said, what's important to Rick and I, it's not about growth. It's about mm-hmm. the right growth. And that's why organically we've been able to do it so quickly, because we go out and handpick and do that sort of thing ourselves. I think first quarter next year is going to show a lot. I think a lot of the companies are undercapitalized. Mm. The back offices are just too expensive to run for companies who aren't controlling large amounts of volume. So I think that we're in for consolidation, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, I think a lot of CEOs or owners, if they can get around the whole wanting to just own it, mm-hmm. just the ownership, which, listen, it would be really difficult for me as well. And when you own something, you love it. It's yours,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
But there are platforms like ours that you could pretty much merge with and still run your platform and just plug into our engine. Mm-hmm. And that's the philosophy we have. We're not trying to change the way these people are operating their businesses today. We're just trying to enhance what they're doing. So that's our model. If we can go and enhance a smaller player in a market we're not in, I think it would be a good synergistic fit. And I think you're going to see a lot of it.
Yeah. Lastly, just the changes in the industry and, you know, a lot of stuff moving online, the evident that, I mean, the brick and mortar kind of traditional way of business, do you see that changing as well? In other words, more and more as offices open, do you see a change in that, smaller offices potentially, or more people working in remote locations and online? How do you see that?
Well, I think in markets, definitely not going away.
Mm-hmm.
How that looks, I don't know. I think that a lot of people will be more virtual. Mm. So we won't have to have bigger offices where people just go. you know, sitting all day, which they're not supposed to anyhow, supposed to be out in the field. Right. So, you know, yes, do I see it changing? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're becoming much more of a virtual world, which is great. But I think in market agents, realtor and loan officers matter. We have the data. Consumers like to do all the shopping on the big old web, but yeah. They certainly want to talk to somebody who lives in the market they're looking to buy, sent their kids to the schools that they're looking to send their kids to. Mm-hmm. And the importance is almost double the satisfaction rating versus using an internet-based loan officer versus one that's in market. Right. It's almost 2 times better.
Got it. Hey, Patty, anybody wants to reach you for any reason, more about New American, more about you, your speaking, et cetera, what's the best place for them to do that? Or what's the best way for them to do that?
So Eva will tell me, are we directing people to my website or askpatty.com?
There you go. All right.
She knows more than I do.
That's why you have to
surround yourself with people better than you.
And you have done that just as good as anybody I know, Patty.
Patty.
Thank you for your time. You've been very gracious with all your information, and I wish you all the success, and take care of yourself. Thanks again for your time today.
Happy holidays.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again. This is Joe Cuchera at the Real Estate Radio Live. Kind enough for Patty Arvaiello, the president and co-founder of New American Funding, to join us today. Great interview. Tomorrow, be sure to check in because we'll have her husband, Rick Arvaiello, will be joining us tomorrow, and co-founder as well. Be interesting to talk to him. So, signing off today for Joe Cuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you again for tuning in. Take care. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.